This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. It's the 13th of February, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller have the news today, including what Indiana's corn and soybean farmers had to share with Indiana lawmakers over a bacon breakfast yesterday. And you'll hear from C.J. at the National Farm Machinery Show. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says improving weather conditions across Indiana today, but moisture ahead for the weekend. And the Wednesday grains and oil seeds mixed, only corn higher yesterday. Tom Fritz has analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Keystone Cooperative's equipment auction continues this February on Purple Wave. Bid on a 2015 John Deere R4038 applicator, fertilizer delivery trucks, and more farm-ready machinery. With no reserve online auctions, top quality equipment from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is just a click away. Visit purplewave.com today, your trusted farm auction solution. Purple Wave, where smart farmers find the perfect fit.
Bacon, bringing farmers and legislators together, and Farm Credit Mid-America celebrating another large return to their customer owners. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The smell of bacon wafting through the hallowed halls of the Indiana State House led legislators to where farmers were waiting to speak to them about ag policy priorities for corn and soybean growers at the annual Bacon Bar and Brunch event Wednesday morning, presented by the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance.
I think bacon puts everybody in a good mood.
That's ICGA President and Hancock County farmer Chris Cherry. The event was very well attended.
Shoulder to shoulder, all the senators and representatives that are out here, their aides. It's a great morning to be out here. I had my local representative, Ethan Lawson. He told me that he's new out here. This is his first year, but he said he can already tell that this is probably the favorite event because he said the turnout for this one surpasses any other one that they've had out here so far. And when I'm talking to these guys, it's certainly a highlight for them.
A major talking point at the brunch was Senate Bill 254, a bill providing tax credits to fuel retailers for the sale of higher ethanol blends and the sale of blended biodiesel or renewable biodiesel. It passed the Senate and moved over to the House. Cherry's excited to see the bill move because it's all about moving the pile for corn growers.
You can eat it, you can feed it, or you can burn it. But the biggest way for us to move that pile quicker in the near term is to burn it. And this biofuels tax incentive, it'll save consumers almost $12 million in fuel costs annually.
And it'll add $104 million to Indiana's GDP. Cherry says this bill really is a win-win-win-win.
It's going to increase Indiana corn and soybean farmers' income by almost $118 million annually. And it'll also support about 677 jobs in Indiana annually. So helps the farmer, it helps Indiana, helps your community, you know, it helps to move that pile.
Take a listen to the latest Indiana Ag Policy podcast from the Bacon Bar and Brunch at the State House. It's available now in the free Hoosier Ag Today mobile app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Farm Credit Mid-America is celebrating another large return to their customer owners as part of their annual patronage program. C.J. Miller has more.
We are excited to announce that this year we are going to give over $260 million back in patronage to our member owners.
And that's Natasha Cox, Senior Vice President of Agricultural Lending for Farm Credit Mid-America. The announcement was made to coincide with the start of the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville.
We've been doing this for 9 years now, and we've given back over $1.5 billion to our member owners.
And when will those patronage payments be delivered to their customer owners?
Those are going to hit our customers the end of March. And so I'll be honest with you, it couldn't come at a better time. When we look at the economic cycles in agriculture, the timing that we're able to get this money in the hands of our member owners to help them execute on their strategies, but also help them through some volatility in the market, we are just very, very excited to be able to give back on behalf of our member owners.
She adds that she and her team can help you with your farm financing options for 2025 and beyond.
We understand that there's a lot of noise going on in the industry right now. We look forward to sitting down with you about the opportunities that you have in front of you. If you need support, whether it be crop insurance, long-term or short-term financial products that you need from us, we're here to serve you. Come see us at the local Farm Credit office.
Find your local Farm Credit Mid-America office and read more about their patronage program at FCMA.com. You can also find out more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And congratulations to Natasha on her recent promotion within Farm Credit Mid-America. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Better weather conditions here today for your Thursday than what we were seeing to finish out yesterday. That weather system is off to the east trying to exit Ohio this morning, and we should be looking at clouds giving way to sunshine here. May see a little bit of lake effect coming off of Lake Michigan here this morning through midday. Northwest Indiana, north central parts of the state, that is it. Even there, we get sunshine by this afternoon. Arctic high pressure sitting over the top of us overnight tonight into tomorrow, so that means sunshine tomorrow as well. South flow up the backside of that high fuels a little wave of moisture coming through the upper Midwest, northern parts of Illinois overnight, Friday night into Saturday. That's going to create a little bit of snow in Michigan and maybe a chance for some light flurry action down in northern tier counties of Indiana. But I don't think that's the big story for the weekend. The big story is a massive low that forms in the mid-Mississippi River Valley, drawing all sorts of moisture off the Gulf of Mexico. And we see that moisture getting spilled right over the top of Indiana. Rain and potentially some ice again, although I'm less concerned about ice in this kind of scenario because it is a massive circulation. I think we're well mixed in the atmosphere, but plenty of rain, central and southern Indiana for Saturday, anywhere from a quarter to one full inch there. And then we see a refiring of this overnight, Saturday night into Sunday. This is where I think we have a better potential for rain in, or rather ice in northern areas of the state, because cold air is starting to advance in from the north. We're still likely seeing some overrunning warm air over that cold air. So heavy rain and thunderstorm activity down near the Ohio River after midnight on Saturday night on through Sunday morning. Heavy rains from I-70 southward. We could see an additional half to 2 inches there just Saturday night, Sunday alone. And you get into the northern part of the state, can see a couple of inches of snow and some ice in there for a brief period of time as well. I think the snow in the cold air wrapping around the backside can probably linger through Sunday afternoon. And eventually everybody sees precipitation end as snow before things are done Sunday night. Going into Monday of next week, Arctic high pressure is back, so we're chilly. I think we see more clouds around through Monday and Tuesday. Watching a weather system try and come together in the central plains at midweek, Tuesday night, Wednesday. But right now, the track of that system is south into the deep south. It does not hook out to the northeast and head towards us. I'm not buying that right now. I still think we have a 50-50 shot that this system coming right to the northeast, coming directly across Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. But we'll just have to see how things come together. We'll follow it up, though, with cold air to finish next week as well. Good news, though, in the extended part of this forecast, once we get into the week of the 24th, I am seeing a large-scale batch of warming for a large chunk of the country. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Get ready. It's going to be a wild weekend for sure. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn rebounds, but back lower for soybean futures. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market insights from analyst Tom Fritz. He's with EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Soybeans resumed on Wednesday, the Tuesday sell-off. So, Tom, let's take a closer look at beans to begin with. Is that a continuation of what transpired on Tuesday, or maybe some South American developments adding to it?
Well, I think it's some follow-through from yesterday. You know, the reminder that we have plenty of soybeans here. And even though we made some cuts to, I believe it was the Argentine production, still plenty of soybeans. And the weather's improving for Argentina. And harvest is about ready to go full tilt in Brazil. So, you know, bottom line is we got more than enough beans to go around. And demand for U.S. beans is, well, I want to say marginal, but not much better than marginal. So tomorrow, CONAB, the Brazilian version of the USDA, will be out, and we'll see what they have to say. What was it? Their last number was 166.3, and the USDA was at 169. So we'll see how that goes. But I think more importantly is what CONAB's going to say for corn. You see the corn market goes alone today on the upside. And I think part of that is, number one, the low global carryout on corn. That came in lower than expected yesterday, even though they left the USDA carryout unchanged. I think if you look at the stocks to usage on the global corn scenario, it's the lowest it's been since, the 2015-2016 marketing year. So I think a lot of folks will be waiting to see what CONAB comes in with for their second season corn suggestion. This will be their first legitimate survey for second season corn. Up until this report, they've been using last year's number. So we'll see how it goes. We know corn planting has gotten off to a slow start, but I don't know. I talked to my Brazilian guy the other day, and he suggested to me that, you know, he's looking at forecasts that are such that second season corn planting could be caught up to quote unquote normal within 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes. And we know the weather in Argentina has been improving. So we'll see if the corn market continue to go it alone, per se. That's one thing we're going to be looking out for tomorrow is the CONAB numbers. Wheat market tried to run with corn, where's the wheat demand? I think that's one of the big things that we're saddled with. That U.S. demand for wheat is not the best. And the global scenario for wheat business hasn't been the best. I think the wheat market struggles to maintain its recent rally. There is some concern about the cold weather that's coming in, but a lot of folks are suggesting there might be enough snow cover to have the winter wheat crop endure the cold. But bottom line is, you know, we won't know its impact until the winter wheat breaks dormancy. So bottom line is, from a technical standpoint, the wheat market's got room to retrace some of the recent rally without putting a dent in this trend. So, but time will tell. The wheat market could really use some business, and we're not seeing any on the horizon. So I think the bears, they feel pretty good about their bean positions. I think the bulls feel pretty good with their corn positions after today. They got everything back that the corn market lost yesterday. And the wheat traders, I think they're on the fence. Play the short-term game there where, wheat traders are going to fade short-term intraday extremes and try to leave their attitudes at the door.
Tom Fritz Insights, Tom with EFG Group in Chicago. Now the final numbers, better than a nickel higher in the corn market. March goes to 490 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. May 504, up 6. July up 6 cents, 507 and a quarter. But down over a dime in beans, March 1027 and three quarters, down 15 and three quarters. May 1045 and three quarters, a loss of 14 and a half. 14 cents down on July 1062. A little lower in beans, which also chopped a little higher at times. March contract, though, ends at 574 and a quarter, down 2 3/4. April live cattle, 195.72, down 27. April lean hogs, 94.32, a gain of $1.35. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.